title thing when I did it with me and Jason. So it just kept saying Mountain Gypsies like meeting.
In progress. Oh yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Okie dokie. All right, so let's get back to you guys. This meeting is being live streamed. Oh, even I get the choice of leaving.
Oh, nice.
I wonder what happens if I leave.
Nice until it's time to like for us to leave. It's just live because nobody's ending it.
We'll just go on and on and on for 24 hours. Oh, this is what happens to a cigarette when you panic.
Oh.
When two German shepherds bust into your altar room.
German shepherds. Yeah, I actually have a fun story about stress and cigarettes too. Before, sure. Like many, many moons ago, when I was in high school, I used to smoke cigarettes. And one day I was at the corner smoking cigarettes before school with some of my friends. And this one guy that we go to school with, he never talked to us. He was one of two Russian kids that went to our school, and he would always show up in like the long trench coat, and like he just didn't talk to any of us. We just assumed he didn't like us. Well, he walked by us and he was like, "Hey, can I hit that cigarette?" And I, you know, this way pre-COVID, we'd share cigarettes with strangers, even. Oh, disgusting. Anyway, I'm sorry. I have like PTSD thinking about it. Like, oh, you did what? Anyway, so he takes this cigarette and he hits it. And when he goes to hand it back, it had like caved in on itself. He hit it so hard. It was just a wrinkled mass. And I just looked at it and I looked at him. I'm like, "That's you, man. Go ahead. I'll get another one."
You know what I hate? When somebody takes a drag off of your cigarette and they give it back and it's all wet and shit.
Yeah, that would be nice too. But I'm also, gross. It's 2023. We don't pass anything in this house anymore. This is mine. You have your own. I don't care if it's a joint, a cigarette, a glass, like get your own. I'm not sharing anything. I don't even share with my husband. Just no, we're good.
I mean, obviously this was, you know, way back when, but still.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Well. While we're waiting for people to pull in. Yes, people are driving up from all over.
Yes.
You want to do our usual infomercial in the beginning, Miss Hestia?
Sure. Also, hi, Brandy. I see you in the comments. She says that she's here in spirit with us.
Oh, so, nice. Love it.
Aww.
So okay, if you're here, good. Hi, hello. I'm a little out of practice. I was gone last week.
I played Hestia. And I want you to know something. Listen. So I don't know if Clyde has joined us yet, but so he watched it when I filled in for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, "How'd you like it?" He's like, "Eh. You didn't like it?" "No, not really." "Why?" "Because Hestia wasn't there." I'm like, "Oh. But your wife was." Aww. I know, but Hestia wasn't there. You can't have an episode titled ranting and not have Hestia there. I'm like, whatever.
That's true. I do kind of go on rants. Anyways, hi. We're the Bitchy Witchies, at least three quarters of them. Today, we will eventually get around to talking about self-deification, wanting to wait for a couple people to come in. So we have our 101 bitchy, I'm really fumbling today, ain't I? Anyways, we have
those things that we wrote,
book series on Amazon. Links to that will be below, along with all of our socials and all of that. If you want to support us, don't forget to like, subscribe, and check us out on like all the links.
Definitely. And you know, really, we have also a buy us a coffee, a Patreon, but even to support us, if you know, if you don't want to or can't give any money or anything, that's okay too. You know, just sharing our videos or even just watching our videos all the way to the end, or hey, just put on one of the playlists and go to sleep to it.
And yeah, right.
That actually does help us. That really does.
Yes. Yes. And contacting us for services.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And to be fair, we don't really pimp our services as much as we should be, because all of us offer services. I think some of it is a little bit, we just don't want to sound like,
that's why we're doing this.
I'm not trying to yeah. have infomercials and call you exactly. for your free reading. No, I'm not that.
Exactly. Like those who need us, find us.
So, and a little clarification too, buy us a coffee really does help. A lot of times the donations through there has came through when we needed to get our LLC and when we needed equipment and stuff like that. It really helps, because we know some people can't do Patreon and pay every month, and that's fine. But also, you can just follow us on Patreon. It doesn't cost anything to follow us there. And then if you decide you want to pay for extra content, you always can.
That's the nice thing about Buy Us a Coffee, is that you can just do it like a one time, you know, you don't have to like do a subscription. And that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep. Also, hello, Charles. Good to see you in the chat again.
Hey, Charles. That's my client.
my clients. Okay. I've seen you in quite a few of our lives. So, hi.
All right. So shall we talk about what we're going to talk
about? Yes.
Yeah. Self-deification. So.
Yeah. So
what segue do we want to take on this?
Well, there could be
in a nutshell, just to kind of level set with everybody, what we mean by that is basically the concept of being your own God. And so, you know, there's of course multiple things that we can talk about with that, but that's if some of you are wondering what we mean by that self-deification, that's basically what it means. Being self-deification, making a God, making yourself your own God. There you go.
Seeing yourself as a living God.
Yes. Yes. So who wants to start?
Huh.
let's not all speak up at once.
Well, real, I guess I will, because as soon as I found out what this one was, I instantly started thinking about my own journey. And when I first started, before I started studying, I just considered myself an atheist. I did not believe in any gods. I did not think that anything of that nature could hold true. Since then, I've been dealing more and more with the occult and seeing things that you wouldn't normally see, like at Walmart. So, my stance on a lot of that has changed. Do I still think there's like a God in the sense that of how like Judeo-Christians portray one? No. But I also used to say that I am my own God, and I also no longer feel that way. So that's why this topic, I love this topic, because I feel like, one, you're allowed to change. Don't let anybody say, oh, you're wishy-washy or this. You can change your mind with new information, period.
Absolutely.
That's and you should. Right. Yeah, and you should. It's called learning. Like if you, you know, for lack of better words, if you know better, you do better. So, So like I said, when I first started, pretty sure I said this numerous times in the first season or two anyway, I was very much on the stance of I am my own God. I am the one that controls my life in every way and this and that and the other. Now my stance on that has changed. I do not see myself as a deity in any form of the word. I still very much stand on the fact that I control my life and a lot of the things around it. However, go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, I kind of like the interpretation of having that Godhead, but not really in the traditional sense. Like, I like that sense of being in control of our own world. And that's when it comes to working with actual deities, that's why I think they kind of have more respect for us witchy folk, because we kind of see them more as teachers or like friends in high places rather than like groveling at their feet. And more, we kind of see,
because instead you're not groveling at their feet begging them to fix it, you're just like, hey, I'm trying to work on this, can you help me a little bit, bruh?
Exactly. Exactly. And I do consider us witchy folk to be like kind of like divine essence in a way. If that makes sense. Like
it totally makes sense, because there's a lot of traditions and a lot of spiritual beliefs that, you know, that is a, I don't want to say the core of the belief, but one of the mainstays of those belief systems. You know, I mean, you take the left-hand path and crooked path just in general, you know, all the different practices that fall under those quote unquote categories, you know, right. that's the crux of at least, you know, a big portion of that is that we do through our will. We don't need somebody else's will to do it. We are not, there are no other beings out there that are better than us,
right?
Or that are more powerful than us per se.
Exactly.
There's certainly those that have been around for way longer than us, and I'm not talking just about ourselves in terms of our life right now, but even spiritually, you know, that have been around way longer than us. That, and like you said, we look to them for knowledge, growth, for teaching, for guiding. You know, I always say that deities to me, the deities that I do work with, I look to them as my spirit guides. You know,
yes.
I don't see them as like, oh, please help me in the Judeo-Christian sense or in some of the right-hand path sense.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And when it comes to ourselves, like I believe, you know, like witches, we have power, like, and mm-hmm. our abilities I do regard as power because of the definition of power, which is the ability to alter someone's behavior or course of events.
Your dog,
yeah.
That's so cute. Which one was that?
This is Saxon.
Saxon. Hi, Jackson. I know he can't hear me.
he just got neutered the other day.
What I find interesting, though, about self deification is that even amongst those who do have that stance of, yeah, I don't worship, or I don't think that I need to go to another being, not of this earth, to make things happen for me, even though there everybody agrees on that, godhood itself is, that's where I think it differs. So
exactly.
There's some of us who say, yeah, we are our own god, you know, or like Hestia, you know, saying, well, that's what I thought, but I no longer think that now. But I mean, you know, that thought process. But there are some traditions and practices where, and this goes back to statements that you've heard us say before, in that religion or not, whether or not you associate with a religion, magical practice in and of itself is a spiritual, pathway. And to deny that, you know, is, you're kind of missing the point and missing out on a lot, but that's just my take on that. But there are some practices out there, like, the only one I can think of off the top of my head, because, and I've said this before, I don't practice draconian magic. I have uber respect for them. But I do study up on them because I just find them so fascinating, you know. But I know that in the draconian practices, that's part of their journey, is to achieve godhood. So they don't believe, for instance, that, you know, just by being us, that we are our own God, but that it, during their path of spiritual growth and magical development and skill development, that they can, that they achieve the ability of godhood. Not the kind of godhood like I'm going to rule my own world one day, but, you know, the godhood of really truly having that power and the ability to fully affect change.
Right. But my thing is, deities are a separate species, just like whereas I do kind of, I know it's like very fantastical, but I kind of do see witches as like a separate species apart from humans. Just based on several factors. I'll make a video on that later, explaining that theory. That's kind of a theory that I grew up with. And I know it's like very out there, very fantastical, and not something a lot of people would agree with, but it's something that does make sense to me in a lot of ways. But,
you know, I can see why people would not agree with that at face value. Mm-hmm. But I think when you really delve into it, and when you explain it, and if you do that video, you know, I think that there's a lot of good points to that. You know, you know, some people, I mean, we see it in otherkin, you know. Mm. We see that people who claim that they embody the spirit of another animal or another celestial being, you know, like, granted, I know that there's debate as to how real that is, but the point being, it's like, that's not an unusual concept, you know,
right,
to say that this human body is being embodied by a spirit that is a witch, that has practiced witchcraft, not just in this lifetime, but other lifetimes as well.
Exactly.
And we've seen that in our readings. We've seen that in our readings, mm-hmm. you know, on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, so.
Like we tend to maintain our identity as a witch throughout various lives. And that's how, that's another way a natural witch can be born as well. Like if you were a practicing witch in a past life, you're going to carry that magic with you because that magic is tied onto our souls.
Yes.
And
yes.
But when it comes to gods or deities, like they are a separate, completely separate entity, a separate being from ourselves. And I don't believe those who have had a moral life can really be elevated to that status, if that makes sense. Because even if you look at, like in the voodoo religion with like Loa are like a type of ancestor. They're not necessarily a deity. And while like some of them have lived human lives and they were kind of elevated to that Loa status after death, that's where that concept of ascended master kind of comes from too. So it's like, I think those who are gods, deities, they were once a god, always a god. They were always in that position. And when it comes to the deities that I work with, like, even though I do see them as like friends in high places, and I do see them as, I don't want to say equal, but I kind of do see them kind of like a teacher or like a college professor, where it's like, I don't see them as like so much greater, but I respect their position as a higher power because that's what they are.
Well, and to go on a slight tangent, I think that those who do see deity as somebody, you know, that have the power to, you know, to influence our lives and to change our lives, whereas we don't, I see that as that limits you then, because then that puts deity on a whole different level. Not just put them on a whole different level, but it also, not for everybody, but it has a tendency then to also make one not pay attention to the other ancient, knowledgeable beings that are out there. So the daemons, for example, daemons, you know, those are not deities, but right. they have just as much knowledge, sometimes even more knowledge than yeah. some of the deities out there. But when exactly. you become so focused on deity itself, you know, in that kind of mindset, I think it at least creates an environment where you can have a potential to then ignore other beings that you can potentially learn from.
Exactly. 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 And I think like when it comes to looking at ourselves, like how a lot of people don't really give human or even like humanoid subspecies like witches like enough credit for what they're able to do. Like if you look at going back to people calling upon deities to change their lives, or hey, they have control over their waking world. Like I think even the Church of Wicca kind of believes in that too. What's yeah. that one magical practice called? It's similar to that self possession, where like you like if you're casting a love spell, then you would embody yourself with Aphrodite to power the spell. Is that thaumaturgy?
I'm not sure.
I think it's thaumaturgy.
Like I have my own little tangent real quick too, to kind of go off of what Jason was saying about how a lot of people underestimate what we can do as people living this life right now in just a human body. Though there are always going to be people who are like, okay, there's no way this human witch or practitioner could know as much as a deity or a daemon or whatever, an ancestor, whatever, right? There's always those people who do know and appreciate it. And it's people that you would never expect, but it's also really easy to find. If you look into a lot of high-ranking people in the world, a lot of high-earning people in the world, these are people who do go to practitioners. These are people who go to astrologers. These are people that go to diviners, very much so. So just like there's a lot yeah. of people out there acting like we can't do shit, there's people out there who know we can.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. I love that. I love that.
See, and for it's me, people you
would not expect it to be.
Oh, that's true, though.
Politicians. That's true, though.
Yeah.
That's never changed. And that's something that's been going on since times of antiquity, like seriously. Politicians, kings, rulers, lawmakers yeah. have always went to the occult, always. Mm-hmm. It's yep. never not been a thing. Do not let the history books fool you. It's never not been a thing. It right. never stopped.
And you know what, just to tag on to what you just said, Hestia, you know, it's not just, you know, just rulers in general. I mean, even when you look back historically, even those rulers who themselves believed themselves to be descendants of deities, that's what put them in that role. Even mm-hmm. they still turn to diviners on this earth.
Oh yeah, like even a European royal families too, after Catholicism and Christianity, they still had that divine right to rule concept.
Now, one of the things that I love about the Draconic Path, even though, again, I don't practice it, and again, I reiterate, have huge respect for them, still some things that I don't necessarily agree with it. Like, I don't necessarily agree that you have to embark on a journey towards godhood. I have a little bit of a view on that, which I'll get to in a second. But what I do appreciate is their journey, though, is the same thing that I and I think many of us have talked about, which is part of that journey is ascending beyond the constraints of what we are on this earth and what we have on this world. So the stuff that, you know, you hear me talk about ascending beyond the constraints of duality, those are one of the things that you see on the draconian path, is that, you know, that's part of the ascension to godhood, is learning to stop thinking like a human, in essence. I mean, if you want to come right down to it.
Yeah, exactly. To kind of reach that higher state of consciousness, which is basically like what a lot of people would interpret that divine energy of being is, achieving that higher state of consciousness.
Now, one of the things that really hits home for me, I'm sure it doesn't for everybody, but you know, the Gnostic beliefs, and we've talked about this before too. And it's not just from Christianity or Catholicism. I mean, see these similar Gnostic beliefs in a number of different pagan belief systems, new and old.
Oh, absolutely.
But the belief that the Judeo-Christian God, Yahweh, is a demiurge who actually has restricted humans because that deity knows that we are of divine spirituality and divine origin, and that deity does not want us to remember that and to realize that. And so thus the subjugation, and thus that you must worship me, and only I can solve your problems, and only I can take care of you, because it keeps us from realizing who we are naturally. So that's where I don't agree with the draconian path. I don't feel like there's a journey necessarily to get there. It's more of like, it's a spiritual journey of awakening.
Right,
to realize that we've always been here like this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and look at us witchy folk. Like, I mean, when we embark on our magical paths, we tend to see things from all different angles. Like, nothing is just, you know, straightforward, one-sided. We tend, black and white, we tend to look at things from like many different perspectives, many different points of views.
And that stems from us having to be eternal students and having to pay attention to nuance in every little thing, because energy is a very weird, nuanced thing. Just like, you've never known somebody that you're like, they're a really good person, but their attitude fucking sucks. I can't stand this person, but they're still a good person. They just have a shitty attitude. Their disposition is grumpy, and it's a good energy to work with, but you're still like, ugh, it's so draining. So it's like, you have to be able to see not just black, white, gray, but like charcoal gray versus heather gray versus eggshell versus, you know, like, you really have to be able to nuance it down to things that you couldn't possibly imagine if you only see things as black, white, gray.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
In fact, that's actually a good, I use this kind of test often where I'll look at like four different blocks of green and you have to find the one that's a slight shade different. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a really good mental exercise for noticing detail. Because I mean, sometimes it's hard. It's really hard, especially if you're blind like me.
Well, and it's so funny too, and I think I brought this up on another episode or some other discussion. I don't know if we were actually on an episode or just talking amongst ourselves, but you know, there's a lot of things in this natural existence where nature shows us the infinite span between this and that. And it stares us in the face, and it's amazing to me how much we as a species like don't see it. It's literally, it's like, it's practically like if somebody hit us in the face with a piece of cake and we're still asking, can I have a piece of that cake? Well, just, you know, lick your nose. I mean, even like mathematics, you know, you hear about in the science world, how mathematics is like the universal language. Mathematics describes everything, you know, and I've talked about this before, how the numbers between just one and two are infinite, because I can do 0.5, 0.75, I can do 0.25, I can do 0.125, I can do 0.12, I can do 0.002, I can go on infinitely. And to Hestia's point, you know, that huge variation, you plug in colors instead, you know, the multiple shades of green alone, the multiple shades of gray, you know, it's but we don't think in that term, even though when we go to our high school or college classes and we hear about it, we're like, oh yeah, okay, but like it doesn't click for a lot of people, and it's literally staring us in the face.
Yes. I feel like it doesn't click for a lot of people because of what Jason is trying to say, where we're built different, we think different, we live different, we have to. So things that don't catch somebody's interest, I don't always think that it's a boring subject, it's just it's not clicking for you because you don't know what to do with that information.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do you need to know that? Your brain is hardwired to remember what it thinks you need to remember, and it will block out shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
The brain is a very weird thing. Like, it will block shit out if it's like, nope, you don't need that. Or this is detrimental to you, so we're going to block this out. We're going to disassociate, or we're going to forget.
Going back to the Gnostic perspective, you know, that's where they say that's the demiurges doing, is that it's right there smack dab in front of our faces, but we still don't see it because we have been shielded.
Some of us do.
No, I know. I'm saying we as a species. I'm not talking about the three of us, but we as a species, and I think that we can still say the vast majority of people, you know, they don't see. It's very simplistic. It's black and white. You're either good or bad. You're either a Democrat or a Republican. You're either this or that. You know, is there no in between? No, there's no in between. Okay. That's all.
And one can even say that like it's the in between that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we know that the in-between is bigger.
Right.
It's bigger. That's where everything's at. Everything is in-between.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have yet to see somebody in person that is 100% good. Like, you've never done anything shitty in your entire life. Whether it was purposely tripping your sister or lying to your mom or murdering somebody, like it could be anything. I have never met somebody who has never done something shitty.
And here's the thing, because that's all relative, because they can probably, let's just say for argument's sake, that somebody looks back on everything that they've done so far and they, full honesty will tell you, I am a good person. I have never done anything bad. Yet I guarantee you that there was at least one action that to somebody else, maybe not to them, but to somebody else, that was an evil deed. Mm-hmm. Because it's all relative.
Right.
Because what you think and what you define as good versus bad isn't necessarily what the next person defines it as.
And a lot of that is based off lack of information.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That can almost be put in terms of when people see of like good and bad, can see of like yucky and yummy. Like what's yummy to somebody could be yucky to someone else, and vice versa.
Seriously. So true.
Like, look at cilantro. You either love it or you're like, I hate this. Too.
I'm just gonna say cilantro.
And see, in my household, I love cilantro. I can just take a bunch of cilantro and bite it. My husband hates it, will not eat it, doesn't even want food that it's touched.
And they also say that, and what made me think of cilantro was because that's one of the things on Genolink. Mm-hmm. And apparently that is a DNA trait.
Yep.
Apparently, depending on your DNA, they can actually predict whether or not you're more likely to not like it versus to like it. But I think that it's still, obviously, I think there's much more to it than that. I think the DNA does give us the, maybe it tips the scales a little bit, but then, you know, everybody, again, we all are our own unique person. And I think that's what makes the difference between our spiritual self versus our physical self. Our physical self may say that we are.
That's another good example of nuance and other, and like having to look at a bigger picture is, let's say you're born with the gene that says you're probably going to hate cilantro, but you grew up in a household that ate cilantro since you were born. You can adapt to eating that because a lot of things are just acquired tastes. A lot of people like to drink liquor. Liquor is really potent and bitter and acidic, and like, it can hit a lot of really funky, gross notes to somebody who just likes, you know, like apple pie. So again, even though somebody's like, okay, this is what you're going to be, your everything influences that, your family, your friends, your environment, what you choose to do. Yep. I forced myself to like wine, and here I am. Now I'm like full-fledged studying it. I literally, about 5 years ago, made myself. I'm like, you're an adult, learn to like wine. And I forced it, and now here I am.
It's literally the whole nature versus nurture argument.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because again, you know, the reason why I thought of that was because I am one of those people, according to Genome Link, that it says that I should not like cilantro. I love cilantro, but I didn't just, you know, wake up or was born in loving cilantro. When I was little, I really didn't like it. I thought it was weird tasting. But as I was exposed to more and more Mexican food in particular, I realized, you know, this really makes it taste really good. And now I love it. Because it's just like what you described, Hestia. It was like I might have had a natural aversion to it, but after I was exposed and shown more about it, I ended up loving it. So, yeah, it is that whole nature versus nurture thing. But
oh, yeah.
Anywho. Oh. Anywho, self-deification and cilantro.
About cilantro.
Somebody who's tuning in going, self-deification, cilantro. There's a message in here somewhere.
Why are they talking about salad?
So,
I thought this was about witchcraft. They're talking about food.
What do you guys think about those who claim that they are an actual deity? Not like, saying that they're their own god, but who acclaim. Something like that, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
They're full of shit.
Here's the thing.
Like,
don't ever tell me anything unless you're willing to prove it. Because I don't believe anything unless I can see it. So, okay, do something. Do something, anything. Demonstrate. Because if I tell you I'm anything, like, hey, I'm a good baker, I'm going to be like, want some cookies?
Right.
Okay, let me stop using food metaphors real quick.
To be honest with you, it's easy to poo-poo that when somebody says it. But at the same time, I also have to remind myself, you know, there are some, when they say it, it's one of those, I forget what it's called. There's a term for it when your argument is that it's something that you cannot disprove, because it's not disprovable, but because it's based on someone's belief system. So we've talked about, you know, unverified personal gnosis, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some people Some people feel like, you know, I know because I had this vision or whatever. And that's where I struggle a little bit, because I have to respect that in some way.
I have to argue a little bit. I have to argue a little bit, because in most, for a lot of things, yes. But if you are telling me that you are a fucking god, you better do some god shit. Period. Look, that's something. That's something that if you are a god, you can prove that you are a god. Float, bitch. Do something. Like, do something. Anything. Anything. I mean, literally anything that I can't do. Do that.
Right. Well, and the reason why, like, I would want to shit on that belief is just by knowing that deities are completely different species from anything humanoid, and I don't think deities would really want to live that human experience. I mean, even if they wanted to, why would they want to?
They think the human experience is gross.
Yes.
So, what about those who say that they are descendants of deities?
How do you know?
Because
you should mention that, but go ahead, Jason.
I kind of think back to mythology when, like, Zeus and all of his frat brothers were like mating
they were going around fucking humans,
right? And but in that sense, like, and you could kind of claim that anybody can. Anyone and everyone can be, like, divine descendant as well.
Yeah, but, you know, again, that's a tough one, especially because, so let me share with you. So on trueancestry.com, and I think I did share this with you guys, but I'm going to bring it up just because I'm going to rub it in your faces. So, in my ancestral line, I come from the Fujiwara clan, which is a Japanese clan. And that clan was held by, the head of that clan was an ancestral god named Amon no Koyane. So I'm a descendant of a god, bitches. There.
Love it.
Bow down.
Prove it.
What?
Prove it. Do something. Float, bitch.
Fujiwara's right there. Okay, you can't.
No, I want you to float. No, I want you to float. That's how. If you're gonna tell me you're a god, I expect you to float. I don't know why that's my bar, but if you can't float, I'm not gonna believe you.
It doesn't say anything on here that Amon no Koyane floated. So I don't. Well, I'll have to look and see what this dude did.
She's like, our gods don't float.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm just kidding, guys. Also, so don't come for me.
but yeah, like that is kind of a tough one. Like, I think it's because, like, when people being of a divine divine descendant, they would believe to have, like, divine abilities, which kind of goes back to argument about us witch folk. Like, a lot of people say.
I do have one thought on that, though. It's okay. Let's say you are a descendant of a deity. Why are you telling me? Is that supposed to mean something to me?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you guys because I want you to bow down.
Oh, good luck with that. But no, seriously, that's another thing, too. Like, let's say you, and this is something, Bella's a good example, because even though she knows that, she's not constantly telling you, like, hey, guess what? Hey, guess what? Guess what I found out? You know, she's not bombarding you with that. She's not using it to make you feel inferior or like she's better than you. Those are the people that I'm like, are you though? Are you Pam? Are you a deity, Pam? You know, like.
See, and what my thing is like, you hear a lot of people, like, when I was at BMSE, there was like they were kind of like very cultish, and like, and their leader was like claiming to be like the reincarnation of like Buddha, Jesus, and SpongeBob all rolled up into one.
Yeah. Oh,
not actually SpongeBob, but like it was like, oh, he's like both Buddha and Jesus put together, and they lived in like a compound where like they would like worship him.
Here's the thing though, is that it also goes back to you know, your concept of deity. It goes back to that. I mean, we're joking a lot, and we're making a lot of funny, but you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, if you, for instance, if you take to heart the Gnostic beliefs that all humans embody a spiritual essence that is part of the divine, but mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about the divine in all seriousness, like we're not talking about somebody who goes, poof, you have a house, poof, now you have a Ferrari. No, I mean, we're talking about a spiritually ascended being, right? And so so in that sense, you know, if you feel that you that there's a particular deity that for some reason came to embody you, I mean, you know, go do you. But again, why? Because if you do follow that train of thought that we are our own gods as it is, that we are all part of the divine, then why is there that need to have that extra one? And like, so do you argue with, you know, Horus that's embodying you because you've got your own deity? You know, supposedly, if we are of the divine, then to Hesia's point, why would they want to embody us? You know, did they ask our permission? Because we're divine as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a better divine than me. I mean, what's the deal here? I mean, there's just so many things that come up with that. And I think what it really comes down to, and Hesia hit it on the nose, is that, you know, if you're exploring those aspects about yourself, that's one thing. But if you're coming out and announcing it to the world and everybody that you meet and trying to make a big deal of it, then what are you really trying to accomplish here? Shadow work time, because then why are you seeking all that attention and that recognition and that acknowledgement? Why?
Because I promise yes. you, a lot of people don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to be rude. It's just, okay, look, okay, if I come up to you and say, hey, I am a descendant of Vesta, what the fuck are you supposed to say back to that?
Yeah, exactly. What do you want me to say?
I'm going to look you dead in your eyes and not say anything, because it's like, okay, and was that the entire conversation? Like, because what am I supposed to say to that?
Right, it's like, congratulations.
Cool. Did you just find out and you have to share with everybody? Like, that'd be like me coming up to you and just telling you my name. Like, okay, all
right.
Right. Who are you? Like, I don't even know you. Like, why are you talking to me? It's very, exactly. very. And I will say that in this community, it does usually seem to be people that tend more fad, but I've seen it in people who I know are trying to take it very seriously. They really do come out of nowhere, have never spoken to me, and will message me and give me so much detail about their path. And I'm like, I don't care. And then I look like a dick, but seriously, it's just one of those things. Like, there's so much difference in everybody's path. Even if there's three people in the same coven, they're going to have differences. Or if there's three people that just know each other and work together, if there's three people that have never met each other, they're all going to be so different. And so I don't care. Why do you think people are supposed to care? They're worrying about their own education.
Exactly. Now I know what you're saying, for sure.
It's weird. I think another thing too is when people say this, it's like, is that what you think self-deification is? Is like putting yourself on a pedestal? Because no, this is the wrong community to try to do that in, because nobody's going to do that. The people that put other practitioners on pedestals are fad folk and mundane people who need practitioners. That's who puts the occult practitioners on pedestals. If you are an occult practitioner and you're putting yourself on a pedestal, that's weird. And you sound very fake, very fake.
Exactly. Well, just like a lot of Wiccans who come up to me, like almost every single one, like, oh, I'm a high priestess. And it's like, okay, well, good for you. What do you want me to do? Bow?
Another thing too, is using a goddess name as a pseudonym, like I do, doesn't mean that you're anything that god or deity was or represents. Whatever made you pick that is a you thing. Like, I have never sat here and like tried to tell people anything about Hestia. I haven't tried to teach anybody about Hestia anything. Like, I haven't told you shit about her because it's just none of your business. And if you want to know about her, you'll look. But that's another thing too, is I see a lot of people on social media, they'll take a name like, oh, I'm Artemis. And then they do things that they think Artemis would do. And I'm like, Starbucks didn't exist back then. You don't know what she would have ordered. Relax. You're doing a lot. And it's weird. It's performative. And it comes across as very fake and fraudulent. It shows fixation. It's not self-deification. That's fixation.
Yeah.
On an aesthetic and an idea.
And I think that's the big, big difference, is that when we talk about, or when in the occult world, one talks about self-deification, you know, whether it's a recognition and a belief that we are of the divine, just, you know, spiritually as in and of itself, or like the draconian magicians, that they are on a path to godhood, on a path to self-deification, you know, those are all spiritual beliefs, concepts, not like I'm badass. And I think that's the big difference. And therefore, you know, if you are on that wavelength, then that is really nothing to talk about. You know, the stuff that I just mentioned about the Vujinara clan, you know, that was joking. And I joked around with them about that too, you know, about the bow down bitches and shit. I mean, I honestly, I mean, I think it's cool, but it is. More it's so from of the, yeah, it's very fascinating. You know, more so on the clan itself, you know, and that even though from an ancestral standpoint, from my ancient ancestry standpoint, you know, it's very interesting to me. But I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, that's why I'm so badass, because I'm like a 1/100th of a goddess. Yay me. No, that's not it at all. Silence. I don't like silence.
Trying to think of what else I had to say about this. Were there any other segues?
No, I didn't have any other segues.
No, but I think
Are there any questions from anybody, or is Brandy still with us? Does she want to chime in?
Brandy's just yelling about you being a descendant of a goddess or of a deity.
What do you mean? What do you mean yelling?
She says Bella is a descendant of a deity. She is a new day goddess. Bella knows and then she was talking about the people who like claim to be the god itself. She was saying Bella knows my thoughts on those weird people.
Yeah. And I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. That is, you know, again, that's I'm trying not to pass judgment. Okay. But I do feel like it really is doing a disservice to yourself because I really truly believe, you know, that those abilities are inherently in us. Spiritually, you know, so why not nurture that? Why do you feel the need to look to somebody else and say, oh, I'm that, when you're right here? Look in the mirror. You're right here.
Exactly.
That's what Jason and I were joking about earlier. I think Hestia, even right before you came on, was that, you know, about worshiping ourselves. And I told him I have an altar to myself. It's called my vanity mirror. I look at myself every day.
Here's the fun fact too. My vanity is literally on my side of the bed. Like when I wake up, the first thing I see is me. Like, cause I sleep on my side facing the wall and it's the whole wall is just my vanity mirror from my armoire. Yeah.
And I think all
practitioners are a little bit vain too. I don't know why, but we're all a little bit vain.
Right. Like I think that's like one of the things about like fairy tale witches that they got right. It's like we're vain.
We all love a good mirror.
Yes.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
I have a ridiculous amount of mirrors in my house. I'm not gonna lie. There are three in my bedroom.
I do too. I also have a ridiculous amount of mirrors.
You do too, huh, Bella?
Well, mirrors are a beautiful thing.
Yes.
I mean, our dining room alone, like the one wall is this huge ass mirror that actually I grew up with. And so when my mother died, I took that. And of course, spray painted it black because everything my mom had was that gaudy 70s and 80s ugly gold. So of course, I spray painted it black and it's hanging it up on my wall. But of
love
course,
it.
Yeah. Mirrors are a beautiful thing. Mirrors are, as many people say, a spiritual window as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And they never lie.
Yeah.
Well, they can.
They can be manipulated too.
Yeah. If they're manufactured poorly, they can lie.
Yeah,
they can also be manipulated too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Look at the fun house.
We have been on a real hard tangent.
Yeah. Oh yeah, fun houses.
If you are still here,
yeah.
If you're still here and you haven't yet, please like and subscribe if you have not.
Yes, I don't have anything else on the subject.
I do not either.
Neither do I.
If we don't have any questions or comments, then are you ready to say so long, farewell, au revoir, say adieu, to you and you and you.
Okay. Love it.
Sorry.
Yeah. On that note,
Tommy, you know what that's from.
Sound of Music.
Thank you. You didn't watch that movie.
No, actually I did. Bite me. They made us watch it in elementary school.
There you go.
So anyways, like, subscribe, check out our books on Amazon. Ignore Bella. She's doing a lot. And that's coming from me. Like, subscribe, buy our books, and click our links. Bye.
Yes. Bye.
Well, I guess I need to end it, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
About that. Okay.